I have some good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? Well, if you've got a Bible, would you turn in it to the book of John, chapter 14? John 14. And this is really going to be a conclusion of a series that we've been in for a few weeks. In fact, when we started it, it was right when the whole shutdown started. And so next week is Father's Day, which is always a special celebration for us. But when we say this, He is our peace. This is a phrase out of Ephesians where he says, He Himself is our peace. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That it's not just that He brings peace, but He is our peace. I've mentioned several times, peace is one of those big concepts in the Bible, along with love and justice. The peace of the Lord, in Hebrew it's shalom. It is that character of the Lord in the world where He brings calm, where He brings tranquility, where He brings harmony in relationships with other people. It can mean the ceasing of war, but it's more than just that. That you can be in a time without war and not really be at peace. You can have turmoil in your heart. You can have anxiety. And so the peace of the Lord is something in Philippians. It says that that peace will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's that general sense that God's got things in His hands and we don't need to worry. How many know you're not going to hear that message much on the evening news? Because it doesn't sell advertising time. Who tunes in so that they can calm down? I do. Even some of my favorite shows, I just have to say, you know what? I can't even wake up to try to see what the weather is like in the morning without people arguing. Everybody's arguing, and I keep asking, don't we have enough tension and worry in our lives right now without watching something on TV that makes us even more stressed out? Anybody say amen? See, those of you that showed up, now you have the opportunity. You can say it on your TV, but I can't hear it. Now I can hear it. You know, if there's something that you agree with, you can just give it an amen. But there's a reason that we come to church. And there's a reason even if we can come by turning on the TV. It's because the Word of God gives us something we can't get anywhere else. It gives us that truth. It gives us that genuine peace, not an imagined or a made up peace, but that genuine deep down feeling that I know that God is on His throne and that as long as He's the Lord of my life, things are going to end up okay. I'm going to be all right because He's in my life. And so one of the last things that Jesus said to His disciples before He left was in fact this, that before He left them something in His will. He didn't leave them money. He left them peace. So listen what He says in John chapter 14 and begin with me in verse 25. The Word of God says this. He says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. I love that title of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate. We talked about that on Mother's Day, the Parakletos, the one that's called to be alongside of us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And He hasn't left us during this whole entire crisis. Have you noticed that His Spirit has stayed with us the whole time? And then He says this. Would you read it with me? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Isn't that a great word? One of the last things He said to His disciples. And why? Why would Jesus need to say, I'm giving you peace, so don't be troubled and don't be afraid? Because He knew what they were going to face. He knew that there were going to be times in their lives and in their experience that they were going to need a deep down peace, because there's plenty in this life to make us afraid. There's plenty to make us troubled. But when we come back and just receive this word from the Lord, we remember He really is that peace that can rule and reign in our hearts. It's because of Jesus in my life that I've made it through any number of crises. I wish I could tell you that if you become a believer, that if you give your life to the Lord, you won't have any problems. But it would be a lie. I know it's not true in my life. Believers have a lot of problems, but I'll tell you, I'd rather go through the worst day in my life with Jesus on my side than the best day without Him. He makes all the difference in my life. And I understand when he says, my peace I give you. Listen to what he says. I'm not just saying, may you be peaceful. I'm not just telling you to buck up and have a good attitude. He says, my peace I give to you. He's given it to us. So that means if I've lost my peace, it's not because Jesus didn't give it to me. It's just that I've forgotten to hang on to it. So this morning, I want to just come back and listen to the voice of the Lord again, can we? Just allow him to speak into our lives. He says, I've given you the Holy Spirit, and with that, I've given you my peace. And it's a different peace than what you experience from the world. It's not a peace that you get just sitting down by the beach, watching the waves come in and out, by the way, which is one of my favorite things to do. But it's not like the kind of peace that you get in just sitting out in a nice summer breeze, whatever your most peaceful moment is. I know Molly's is sitting out on the back deck doing her devotions while the squirrels run around. Whatever you can get out of this life, the peace that Jesus gives is even better. And here's why. Because it doesn't depend on our circumstances. Jesus says, I don't give you like the world gives. The peace that the world gives comes and goes. Have you noticed? It's circumstantial. It depends on how we're doing that day. It depends on how people are treating us. It depends for some people even on what the weather's doing. But the peace of the Lord is greater than all of those things because it doesn't change. It's not a roller coaster. It's not like the Dow Jones Industrial Average that can't figure out what to do. Have you noticed? It's up and down, up and down. But the peace of the Lord is there no matter what's going on in my life. And so one of the first things that Jesus says about his peace is that it's a different kind of peace. It's a peace that abides no matter what is going on in our life. Have you noticed the world doesn't have much interest in this kind of peace? It has more interest in creating controversy than peace. And especially now that it's an election cycle. And so no matter what happens, no matter if the president or the governor or whoever it is, whether they make a great decision or a bad decision, somebody's going to complain about it. Somebody's going to try to make political points out of it because that's what they do. They have a vested interest in making sure that we have no peace. And if somebody is feeling peaceful and not voting for them, they stir it up as much as possible to get them to change their mind. Isn't that how it works? Listen, I'm not putting them down. Both sides do it. But that's the way the world deals with things. It has no interest in bringing peace. In 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul even prophesied about people like this. He said, you can read it with me. It says, they have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people. Man, does that sound familiar to anybody else? That sounds like what I've seen on the TV for most of the last several months. Constant friction. There are some people that just have, here's what he called it, an unhealthy interest in that kind of stuff. You know, there's a difference between having an argument and being argumentative. Some people just thrive on it. If there isn't a controversy, they make controversy. And so we wonder why we can't have peace. It's why we have to come back and listen to the voice of the Lord. He says, listen, my peace isn't like the peace you get from the world. You know, even in churches, believe it or not, and I'm a little bit of a student of church history, it grieves me to see how much of church history for the last 2,000 years, how much time the church has spent fighting with each other. Even wars have broken out, not just between Christians and non-Christians, but even amongst Christians. Thousands and thousands of people have lost their lives arguing over points of doctrine that we don't even talk about anymore. We've forgotten what the fighting was all about. People have lost their life fighting over things like superlapsarianism. Anybody know what that is? Oh, then there's the big one that split the Orthodox Church away from the Catholic Church. It was over this one little word, filioque. Now raise your hand if you agree with the filioque. Raise your hand if you disagree with the filioque. And yet that's the big difference between Catholic and Orthodox. What does it mean? I'm not going to even tell you. You don't care. Why do you even want to know about that? But it was a big deal to somebody. And Christians going into different camps, even in the 20th century, we see it now. It bleeds a little bit into our politics, by the way. Some of it is some people go into a camp of being a super conservative fundamentalist, and other ones have gone into a camp of being super kind of spiritual, and people decide and they still argue and they put it in their statement of faith. Here's what kind of church we are. And instead, why can't we just listen to each other and learn from each other? You know, the thing that started and has almost replaced the controversy over the coronavirus now is because of a man who lost his life in Minnesota. And now we're having rallies in cities all over the country. And people are going into different camps. Some are saying, we need racial equality. We talked about that a little bit last week. And if there are police officers that mess up, they need to be held accountable. And then people take it to extreme, said, you know what? I think we even just need to flat out defund the police. I said, wait a second. How are they going to reform themselves if they don't exist anymore? And does anybody want a world where there's no police officers to call if somebody tries to break into their house? I just don't understand it. You know what I found is that most people with a brain in their head know that it's not found in that extreme or that extreme, but there is kind of a reasonable middle. Have you noticed? Even people that now that we're starting to meet again, or we're starting to go to phase two, people are going into different camps. I have friends that just flat out, you could hold a gun to their head and they wouldn't wear a mask. It's just giving in to the lies of the enemy. No way I'm going to wear a mask. I'm not going to stay apart from anybody. I'm just going to go and just kind of rub my face on the doorknob. And, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to just not let anybody. And here's what it comes down to, because nobody's going to tell me what to do. I have other people that are scared to death, that won't come out, haven't been out of their house the entire time since they even heard there was a coronavirus. And somewhere in between, there is a logical middle. Somewhere in between. You know, there's a peace that we can have where we can listen and make good decisions and still exercise that freedom, but still make good decisions. Anybody with me so far? And so there's a reason, by the way, that I wore a mask today to church and that we have signs on some rows to separate, and we're taking temperature, we're taking people's names. We're doing all of those things. Why? Because we're afraid? No, not because we're afraid, but just that we care and we love people. You know, there are times and places that we make choices as believers, all of us do, to say, you know, I'm going to do this or that, or I'm not going to do this in front of a weaker brother or something. Not because I'm afraid or I'm legalistic, just because I love somebody. And the Bible says, you know, why would I do anything that would cause somebody else to stumble? And so we have great freedom in Christ. But that freedom is never an excuse for lack of love. Are you with me? Jesus says, my peace is different than the world's peace. And so in Galatians chapter 5, he says this. Would you read it with me? You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's just it, right? He said the entire law is summed up in this. If we just love somebody. So if we love somebody and we're not afraid and we feel like, you know, we go to Walmart without our mask and we're not really worried about catching this virus. But I also think about not only what my effect is on me, but what if that person next to me is terribly afraid? Then wouldn't it be better just to kind of look after them and to be considerate? How many are with me so far? You know, it's not very popular, and I doubt this week is going to break last week's record for how many hits we get on YouTube. Because it's not really the kind of thing that's going to get you elected to office, preaching balance. Preaching, you know, let's just keep cool and make some good decisions. It's just not very popular. It's not controversial enough. That's why God made me a pastor and not a politician. Because I really care more about things that are going to help people than I care about saying things that are going to get me famous. And while the world is trying to divide people, shouldn't the church be the kind of place that brings people together? Oh, there's an amen. Praise God. I haven't heard those in so long. You have any idea? It's not that I'm insecure and I need affirmation. I am, but that's not why I asked for it. I just love to hear that agreement with other people and to just ask that question. Is the Holy Spirit saying the same thing to you as he's saying to me? And so the second thing that I want to talk about, once again, is not a very popular and maybe one of the most underestimated characteristics of the Christian walk. Is balance. Would you say that word with me? Balance. Balance. It means to be level. It means to be even keel. It's the reason that I have several pieces of paper shimming up my pulpit, because this spot in the concrete floor is not balanced. And it drove me up a wall the first week I was here, and the pulpit was just wobbling back and forth. You have to have balance. You have to stay calm. And in order to have balance, you've got to have level on both sides. And so, have you noticed, though there are some people that are crazy off in this direction and some people are crazy off in this direction, that the normal people, us normal people, are somewhere in the middle. Anybody say amen? And by the way, if you can only see one side of the crazy, it's probably because you're on the other side of it. You know, truth is like a teeter-totter. You ever heard that one? If you can only see one side of it, it's probably because you're sitting on the other one. You need to be able to listen. It's why God gave us two eyes and two ears, so that we could listen to both sides. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have opinions. But what I've found is between my crazy friends over here, my crazy friends over here, somewhere in the middle, there's some wisdom. Somewhere in the middle, there is reasonableness. There's balance. So in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, the Apostle Paul tells us this. Would you read it with me? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Isn't that a great verse? That's in the ESV. Another translation is, let your gentleness be known to all. And King James is a great word for us. Let your moderation be known to all. The reason I like the King James Version is that is actually one of the four square tenets of faith. Did you know that? It's my favorite. Of all of the doctrinal things that are in our statement of faith in four square, by the way, if you've never read them, you can go online. They're on the website. I haven't changed them. They've been the same since back in the 30s. And what I love about them is the person that wrote them was just so balanced. You could pretty much take them into any Christian church in the whole town, and they would say, yeah, I agree with that. There's no problem there. It's because they're just reasonable things. Now, I have a theory about why that is, but have any of your friends ever asked you what four square means? People are usually unfamiliar with it. They say, what are the four squares anyway? And I say, there aren't four squares. Four square is one word. You know what four square means? Balanced. You ever heard this before? Four square means it has four sides. So twice in the King James Bible it's used. Once it describes the temple in the Old Testament. It says, I want you to build it four square. It's to have four sides. It also describes heaven in the book of Revelation. It says that it's going to be the new city. It's going to be four square. So if anybody asks you, why do you go to the four square church? I say, because heaven is four square. And so it just means to be balanced. Like the chair you're sitting in has four legs. The idea is it's going to be stable because it's not just on one, but it has four legs. And so it keeps the whole thing balanced. Are you with me? And so the four square gospel is one that is, another way to say it, it's holistic. It's the whole gospel for the whole person. And so it starts with personal salvation, but that's not all there is. It also has to do with healing and wholeness and restoration of the whole person. It also has to do with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit so that we could reach out and we could minister to others. And so it's not just all about me. It also, the fourth one, is that it's about God's kingdom and his purposes coming into this world. Not only that I'm going to go be with him someday forever, but also that we are kingdom bringers in this place. It was the four square gospel. And the reason I love it is because right in the middle of it, our founder, who was a female tent evangelist named Amy Semple McPherson is that she started a denomination, and when she was preaching to people from all sorts of different walks of faith. There's my personal theory why Foursquare ends up being balanced, and it's even in our DNA today, is because it was started by a tent evangelist. Almost all denominations are started because they broke off from another denomination. So the first thing they did was decide the five things we don't believe in. And it was always kind of a divisional thing. But one thing that I discovered, learning Pentecostal history, out of all of the organizations in the United States, there's only one that was started by a tent evangelist. And of all of the great tent evangelists in our history, there's only one that started a denomination. Go down through the list. I think that makes a difference. What difference? Because tent evangelists want everybody to come. They come to the edge of the town and they set up the tent. They want Presbyterians and Lutherans and Baptists and Methodists and everybody to come to their church. Are you with me? And so the gospel message they preach isn't just about fighting and division and trying to make yourself unique from everybody else. The gospel message is just lifting up the name of Jesus and preaching the word. Anybody say amen to that? So if you came from another denomination and said, hey, I can get along with this, that's the reason. It's the reason why on our report card, Foursquare people tend to be ones that play well with others. We may not score high in all the other ones, but that's our best quality, is that it was smack in the middle of our 22 tenets of faith. Number 13 is my favorite. You know what it is? Moderation. And so here's what she wrote, and I got to prepare you. Sister Amy was not a theologian. She was an evangelist. And so even when she writes things like this, she just starts preaching the gospel. And so the Bible says this in Philippians 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always and let your reasonableness be known to everyone. King James says, let your moderation be known to everyone. And so number 13 of our statement of faith says, the moderation of the believers should be known to everyone. She just quotes Philippians. That their experience and daily walk should never lead them into extremes, fanaticism, unseemly manifestations, backbitings, murmurings, but that they're sober, thoughtful, balanced, mellow, forgiving, and zealous Christian experience should be one of steadfast uprightness, equilibrium, humility, self-sacrifice, and Christ-likeness. I know, it's a little wordy, isn't it? But isn't it awesome? Who talks like that? That's not going to sell newspapers. Newspaper heading right on the front page. Everybody calm down. They don't want you to calm down. They want you to get excited and buy more newspapers. But Jesus says, listen, don't let your hearts be troubled. That word troubled means to be stirred up and agitated and just kind of off balance. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You've got me in your life. Just listen. Come and abide with me. You see, what happens is without balance, we're subject to every extreme point of view. And so my friends I don't think they're ever going to come back out of their house again. They're just going to be hermits for the rest of their life, have their food delivered to them. I've got other friends that just think everything is a conspiracy theory. There's no such thing as a virus. And they'll go on and on and on to get out their tinfoil hats and start telling you about how it was all a Chinese plot and all of these things. But somewhere in the middle is the truth of it. Somewhere in the middle, there is a place to find where every believer can just say, you know what? We don't need to get crazy on either extreme. We can just listen to the voice of reason. Anybody with me so far, say amen. Sometimes I'm a preacher. Sometimes I just feel like a life coach. But I got to tell you, these fictitious people I keep talking about, making fun of, they're real. They're out there. And if you don't know who they are, it just might be you. In 2 Peter 3:17 says this. It says, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own what? Stability. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't get carried away. If you're off balance, if you're disturbed, if you're easily stirred up, you're going to find yourself off balance all the time. But God has said, take care. Don't lose your stability. Don't let it rob you of that peace that I gave you when I gave you the Holy Spirit. Don't let it rob your peace. Whatever else you do and whatever decisions you make, be sure that peace abides and rules and reigns in your heart. And you know, all of this talk about balance, it just reminded me, where have I heard this before? And then I remembered what Mr. Miyagi taught Daniel-san in the first Karate Kid. And I said, I knew I heard this before someplace. And so just listen to some of these wise words this morning.
Okay, here, stop, draw anchor. Ah, good. Stand bow. No, bow. Up.
What, up front?
Yeah. Make block. Left, right. Up, down. Side, side. Breathe in, breathe out. And no scare fish.
Okay, when am I going to learn how to punch?
Better learn balance. Balance is key. Balance good, karate good, everything good. Balance bad, better pack up for home. Understand?
Yeah, I understand. Hey, you ever get into fights when you were a kid?
Plenty.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a problem I have, right?
Why? Fighting. Same.
Yeah, but you knew karate.
Someone always know more.
You mean there were times when you were scared to fight?
Always scared. Miyagi hate the fighting.
Yeah, but you like karate.
So?
So karate's fighting. You train to fight.
That hurt you think?
No.
Then why train?
So I won't have to fight.
Miyagi have a hope for you.
When am I gonna learn how to punch?
Learn how punch. When learn how keep trying.
No!
Daniel, you always behind me.
Balance is key. He says, balance good, karate good, everything good. Balance bad, might as well pack up, go home. If we don't have balance, we lose a lot. Long before wise old Mr. Miyagi said it, Jesus said it to us. He said, my peace, listen to that word peace, my peace, my equilibrium, my ability to weather any storm is with you. And when my peace is with you, you don't need to be troubled and you don't need to be what? Afraid. The last thing about the peace that Jesus leaves us, it's a fearless peace. Fearless peace. That it's not about fear. And you know, friends, we have a choice, you and I, whether we're going to react to the environment, whether we are going to just follow the ways of the world, or whether we're going to respond by the Holy Spirit. I had a youth pastor when I was a kid that used to tell us this. He said, you can either be a thermometer or a thermostat. You know, the thermometer just goes up and down depending on what the temperature does. The thermostat sets the temperature. On your workplace, you can be a thermometer, you can be a thermostat. You can react with anger, you can get into the arguments on one side or the other, you can stir up people to be more anxious than they already are, or you can be one of those levelers. You can be a peacemaker, you can be a peace bringer. And it's in times like this where the whole world is running around in fear that I really believe that the people of God can make a difference. We really can. We can be the people in our family that speak reason and that speak against fear. We can be those people that just come into a situation that seems to be in turmoil and bring peace to it. One of my favorite miracles in the Bible is when Jesus and the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee and a storm kicks up and Jesus is asleep in the bow. And there's more to this miracle than just something that happened. If you read the Old Testament like I do, this goes way back. One of the very common themes that keeps coming up is about calming the storm. In the ancient world, the sea itself was a very chaotic and fearful place. Well, when you think about it, you know, they couldn't see the end of it. There were all sorts of creatures that they couldn't see in there. A lot of times people would go out and they wouldn't come back. Even clear back to ancient Babylon, there were myths in Babylonian society about the young god Marduk going out to slay Tiamat, the great sea monster of chaos. And there's all of that wrapped up in this one little story of Jesus on the boat with his disciples. When you think about the ocean being that source of just kind of fearfulness, and instead of being afraid, the Bible says that Jesus arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, what? Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? It's the only other time in the Bible where Jesus uses that particular word. Why are you so timid? Why are you so scared? Why don't you have faith? And so, friends, whatever else we do, wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Come to church, don't come to church. Whatever you do with your workplace, do it because that's the wise thing to do. Don't do it because you're afraid. Don't be afraid. Years ago, when I was starting off in ministry, 29 years old, and my boss called and asked me, said, I'm going to step down as the superintendent of this area, and I want you to take my place. I was scared to death. All of the other pastors, there was about 14 churches. They were all older than me. Some of them, I went to camp with their sons. And I was just scared. So I said, I need wisdom. And I called an old pastor, mentor of mine named Jerry Sanford. So Jerry and Joan Sanford pastored here back in the 60s and 70s. And he actually baptized me at the East Hill Church when I was a little kid. But they planted a church out in East Portland that's grew very big and successful. And so I was a young pastor and he was a veteran pastor. I just said, Jerry and Joan, can we take you out to lunch? And I just need your advice. So I told him what I was thinking about and he sat and listened. She was more talkative. He was very introverted and quiet. And after lunch, he just said, you know what, Mike? He looked up at me and he says, I have two words for you from the Lord. I said, great, that's what I came here for. And first thing he said is, if there's any part of this decision that appeals to your flesh, like you want to be important or you want to be in charge, something like that, he says, don't do it. He said, don't do it, listen to your flesh. And the second thing is this, if there's any part of you that's feeling like you should say no because you're afraid, and that was me, he said, don't listen to that either. He goes, because the Holy Spirit never speaks through fear. He never speaks fearfully. In fact, the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. I knew that verse. I almost just started crying right there because that really was the only reason I would have said no. By the way, I did it for 19 years and some of my most painful experiences happened because of that. I was afraid for a reason. And older me would probably go back and tell younger me to run. And yet still, the Lord used me because I didn't listen to fear. Friends, I want to just tell you the same word. Can I leave you with the word from the Lord? Not because I said it, but because the Word of God says it. Would you read 2 Timothy 1:7 with me? Just read it out loud with me and declare the Word of God. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I love that verse. Who needs to hear that today? He has not given us a spirit of fear. There's an even better way to translate it because it's not just that he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but what he says is he gave us his spirit, and that spirit is not a spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit of fearlessness and of power and of love and of sound mind. Listen to that. Tell me what balance there is in it. What's a spirit of power? That means that we have courage. We have boldness. That means that we're not led by fear. That means that, you know, whatever the science says or whatever the reasonable thing is, we can do it and we don't have to be fearful. But then listen, he says also, it's also a spirit of love. So you know what love says? Sometimes love says, I might have the courage to do something, but I'm also going to be full of compassion and care for the people that are around me. You with me? Great balance in the Word of God, isn't there? That it's a spirit that's full of courage, but it's also a spirit that's full of compassion. And to balance it all out, he says, and is also a spirit of a sound mind. That means sophroneo. It means saved thinking, safe thinking, not in an extreme, but he's given us common sense. He's given us a brain between our ears for a reason, so that we could live a long and happy and healthy life. Don't you love the Word of God this morning? You know, friends, I just am so grateful to be with you today. For those of you that can come, and even for those of you that are still watching via live stream, I love you so much. I wish I could give you all a big virtual hug right now, but I'm praying for you. And as patient as we are, and you let the Lord be your guide and be your leader, give you common sense. Somebody yesterday says, I'm not going to come back to church for a little while, Pastor Mike, because I'm due for a surgery. It's a great reason. Just use your common sense. But let's just pray, can we? Invite the Holy Spirit to just come into each and every one of our lives. Lord Jesus, today I just thank you for your word, that you said you give us your Holy Spirit and he would never leave us. And with that Holy Spirit, you bring peace. Peace that drives away fear, peace that drives away anxiety, peace that drives away strife. And I just pray right now, Lord, that even in every family that may be getting cabin fever by now, that they are experiencing strife, or kids that aren't getting along, or parents or spouses. Lord, I just pray for your peace, healing, reconciliation. Help us to dwell together with love and grace. Pour out your spirit on every household today. I pray, Lord God, just as you've been protecting us, continue. Put a hedge of protection around each and every family. Lord, may there not be one that comes down with this virus. Lord, may you guard and protect every single life. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. And friends, if you're here today, and if you're watching at home, and you know that one of the things you need to do is ask Jesus into your heart, that he needs to abide in there. One of the best things about that story is before he can bring the peace, you have to have him in your boat. He has to be the captain of the ship. And so if you haven't dedicated your life to him, just take a moment. Will you pray with me today? Say this, Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean and write my name in the book of life. Be the captain of my ship and grant me your peace in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 I love all of you so much. Praise the Lord. Go in the grace of the Lord and be safe, and hopefully I'll see you soon.